You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Don't ever give up. We will try to bring you justice, and at least the facts and some great discussions here every day on the Maggie Dawn Show. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, and happy Tuesday afternoon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Every once in a while, I have these moments where my past life meets my current life. And this is one of them, ladies and gentlemen. I am so excited to be joined by State Senator Kel DeRoys. She is one of the Democratic candidates for governor in 2026. She also happens to be a friend of mine and a former law school classmate, hence the past life joining my current life. Kelda, I hope I can call you that. It's so nice to see you. Welcome.
So nice to see you too, Maggie. Thank you so much for letting me join you in this great conversation.
It is such an amazing moment. I'm just going to say this, to see incredibly talented female elected officials in this gubernatorial primary on the Democratic side. It's an incredible moment. Not one, not two, but three. Holy cow, it's an embarrassment of riches on our primary ticket. But let's talk specifically about some of the issues that I think are top of mind for Wisconsinites and Americans writ large. When I talk to folks out in the street or sitting on bar stools, church pews, and the like, the first thing that I usually hear from people is, oh my gosh, housing is insanely unaffordable. So as a gubernatorial candidate, as governor, what's your approach?
Well, this is something I know a lot about because for 13 years, I founded and have built a small business that aims to make it easier and more affordable for people to buy and sell their homes. Because, you know, as Americans, that is a big piece of the American dream. And that is how we build equity. It's how we build wealth that often will pay for our retirement or help our kids go to school. There's a lot that states can do to make housing more affordable. And, you know, some of it is zoning reforms to make housing easier to build. Some of it is making sure we have the right housing mix, right? That there is missing middle housing, that we have condominiums so that people who want to downsize can make room for new families to buy. And some of it is just making sure that there's enough affordable housing at the lower end of the spectrum so that people don't become homeless. And Wisconsin has really been kind of behind the times. We did have some bipartisan victories in the last session, but there's a lot more that we can do. And housing is one of those things where if you don't have it, then you're not going to have a workforce, you're not going to have a strong economy because people just aren't going to want to live there.
Yeah, there's so much in your answer, a couple of things that I wanted to lift up and give emphasis to, if you will, and that is really looking hard at zoning. There is this rubber meets the road issue that have everybody, oh yes, let's have more housing. And then when it comes to looking at a master plan for communities or actually taking a critical eye to zoning regulations, all of a sudden, everybody's a little gun shy and it breaks down. So that's certainly an issue. I know you've seen that in your work as a state senator. And I'm also going to just wanted to lift up it if you want to say anything more. You know, when you talk about both mix and affordability, generically, I call that housing accessibility, right? The reason that prices are so insane as an economist is because we do not have sufficient supply for the sort of housing that our populations need. Read single family homes or multi-family unit, you know, like four unit buildings where people aren't having to find $500,000 frickin' dollars to buy a house for them to raise their kids in. This is bananas.
Yeah. And you know, rent is also too damn high. And so it's not like you're just priced out of being able to buy a home. You're actually priced out of being able to rent too. And what happens when that rental market is constrained is people end up renting down. So people end up renting apartments or housing when they could actually afford more. And that means that the people at the lower end really get squeezed. And that's how you end up with people that are, you know, couch surfing with friends because they just don't have the resources to buy it.
What you're describing is how that supply problem domino effects down into lower income tiers. The folks that maybe would have been able to afford a single family home or to purchase are forced into the rental market, which pushes out folks all the way down the income scale. And listen, almost anywhere in the state of Wisconsin right now, if you are finding it impossible to find single-family homes under the $400,000 or $300,000 price point, you can look at zoning, you can look at the issues about mix that we're talking about, but we also should be taking a really hard look at the private equity firms that are snapping these things up coast to coast, creating near monopolies. I sure wish we had a federal agency that would look into monopolistic and consumer protection in this. Oh, wait, we do have those, but Trump is gutting them.
Let's talk more watchdogs.
Exactly. We talked about that for the first hour, given the decision on the shadow docket yesterday from the Supreme Court. It's going to hurt us all. We've got a looming crisis that is about to explode come November 1st when people start logging onto those ACA exchanges. The big brutal bill gutting healthcare going to leave thousands of Wisconsinites behind with no insurance or underinsured, going to blow up premium prices. Kelda, what do you want to do to fix the healthcare problems if you're elected governor?
Well, you know, 15 years ago when I was first elected to the assembly, one of the things I'm most proud of is we actually expanded healthcare to 80,000 previously uninsured Wisconsinites. That's 80,000 people finally being able to go see a doctor that couldn't afford to before. And Wisconsin at that time was at the very top of the nation in terms of access and quality to healthcare. We had more of our people insured than almost any other state. Now, because we have failed to take the Medicaid expansion, or not expanded Badger Care, we're near the bottom. And unfortunately, it's just going to get worse because of these Republican budget changes that we've seen. So I think what we need to do is have a real public option for healthcare. And as a state government employee, I have access to health insurance plans that are nonprofit, and I can choose which one I want, the right thing for me, for my life, for my family. And there's no reason why anybody, whether you're a small business owner, you're self-employed, you're taking time out of the workforce to be a caregiver, or you're a big company, why shouldn't you be able to buy into that state health insurance plan? We make the pool bigger, we lower the costs, we increase the accessibility, and we stabilize those healthcare providers that are potentially going to otherwise close because they'll have too many uninsured people and too much uncompensated care.
Yeah, the great economic reality here is it is cheaper for everybody with better outcomes the more people are fully insured and can seek preventative care. That's why you saw conservative Mitt Romney put in Romney Care when he was governor, right? He effectively ran on that. They are trying to break the Affordable Care Act. That is what this is about, by basically forcing mostly nonprofit health insurance carriers out of the ACA marketplace. We're watching that happen right now in Wisconsin with Common Ground exiting. There's going to be 24,000 Wisconsinites that are going to be struggling to afford the premiums and find a carrier at a premium they can afford. It is doubtful they will. People will be sicker and they will die. And there's one man that is responsible for that. It's Donald Trump, as well as all of his MAGA regime cronies here in the state of Wisconsin. Let's talk about child care and paid leave. This is another one of those topics that, to me, it's a no-brainer if you want business and economic growth. What are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to me. You know, we're supposed to not live to work. We're supposed to be able to work to live. And if you can't be by your spouse's side as they're dying of cancer, if you don't get to see the first time your baby smiles because you had to be at work, because otherwise you'd lose your house, that's not a good society that we're building here. And working people have been working harder than ever. We are more productive as a country than ever. And yet for 40 years, we have seen wages stagnate as costs go up and up and up and up. And there's a huge difference between the quality of life, the things that people can afford that make them feel economically secure, middle class. Can they take a vacation? Can they buy a home? Can they afford to even have a kid? And those things have been out of reach for so many workers because of the way that the billionaire class has essentially stolen all of the fruits of all of our labor to enrich themselves. And now we have a second gilded age where the wealthiest control not just the companies But they control our politics too, and they've got all the money, and it's not fair.
The statistics that support what Senator Royce is saying is that from approximately 1979 to date, those earning more than $1 million have stolen approximately $50 trillion in wealth from all of us that earn less than $200,000 a year in income, whether as an individual or families. Yes, folks, I said $50 trillion. That is the bingo number. Here's the other statistic. There's two of them. From 1948 to 1973, worker productivity in this country went up 97%. And over that same period of time, average wages, yeah, that went up 91%. That's the social contract at work, folks. But from 1973 to 2014, and it's gotten worse since then, while worker productivity increases are still at 90-plus percentage points, average hourly wage increases, yeah, those are at 9.2%. That's the breaching of the social contract brought to you by the billionaires and 100 millionaires with their names on buildings that Donald Trump just gave another enormous tax cut to. All of this is so appalling in both scale and menace to working people and the middle class. And it's in service of what, right? And this is where we get into the democracy pieces of this.
Right.
Give me just a couple high line thoughts that you have, Senator Royce. We'll take care of some business and we'll come right back to this topic on the other side, please.
Well, I mean, I think we can see what Donald Trump is doing because he wants to retain power because he knows what he's doing is incredibly unpopular and it's going to hurt a bunch of people, including a lot of people who voted for him, because they wanted to give him a chance to fix the economy. Instead, he's broken it, and he's only using our government to enrich himself and his billionaire bros. And while he's doing that, by the way, he's taken away our rights and freedoms. He's taken away the very things that make America good and special, our commitment to due process, to the rule of law, our open, free society where we get to exchange ideas and we get to disagree with each other. He's clamping down on that and using our own government, our own military against us in the most vile ways. And it's an authoritarian assault on everything that makes America great.
Folks, that's State Senator Kelda Royce. She is a candidate for Wisconsin's governor's office in 2026. She's with me this entire half hour. And it is also the hour where Civic Media's got the Go for the Green and Gold multi-state text to win contest. It's my responsibility to give you that word right now. If you text it in via the Civic Media app, that is the app, folks, not the old-fashioned way, you will be entered to win a daily prize of either $200 or gold jewelry and one grand prize, two club level tickets in the heat. Oh, that's critical. When Green Bay faces off against the dreaded Minnesota football team that will remain nameless on November 23rd, the word to win this hour is bling, as in give me some of that bling, B-L-I-N-G. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the state senator and me, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. And every 5 o'clock hour, every day, I'm going to have a new word for you so that you can win some cool stuff courtesy of Civic Media. We call this the multi-state text to win contest. It is the green and gold contest. You're going to get that Civic Media app for free wherever you get your apps from. You're going to text in the word that I'm about to give to you. We're going to try to give away to maybe you, if you're the lucky winner, some gold jewelry, $200 cash. Who cannot use cash these days? And you're going to get entered to win our grand prize, a pair of tickets on the heated club level when our beloved football team here in the state of Wisconsin plays the dastardly football team from Minnesota on November 23rd. We're even going to throw in a gas card. It's $1,500 value. So get out the app and text this word in now. You'll have until 6 p.m. to get in on the action. It is bling, B-L-I-N-G. We've got a guest that is blinging with good ideas. Her name is State Senator Kelda Royce. She joins me. She is a candidate for the Wisconsin's gubernatorial seat in 2026. Kelda, we talked about some of the most important things that really impact all Wisconsinites. But I hear frequently from people, how are we going to do this in a state that is as purple as Wisconsin is? So I wanted to give you an opportunity to share pieces of legislation or a particular piece of legislation that was meaty and substantive that you were able to forge a cooperative, cross-the-aisle relationship with Republicans to get done.
Well, I really appreciate that, Maggie, because you know, this is what I have done over 20 plus years for my career. I've done it as an attorney, a small business owner, a statewide nonprofit exec on reproductive rights, and of course, as a legislator in the Senate and the Assembly. I'll give you a really recent one. So Wisconsin has been behind the times in making it harder for nurse practitioners to provide care to patients, right? We've had them in this kind of outdated regulatory scheme. And for years, I was one of the only Democrats willing to stand with Republicans and say, we need to modernize here because we've got a huge healthcare provider shortage and it's hurting our rural communities, it's hurting our urban communities and underserved people. And the governor, you know, my wonderful governor, Governor Evers, vetoed that bill several times. And finally, with working together with nurses, with my Republican colleagues, and bringing more Democratic folks on board, we finally signed that bill into law just a couple of weeks ago.
This is what I want to see more of, because I remain absolutely ardent in my belief that when you strip the national dialogue, which, and listen, national politics benefit from divisions between us, right? Like, that's kind of what the deal is when you're talking on the national level. But when we get to the state and the localities, yeah, the partisan shows up, but it really should be much less, because the things that actual Wisconsinites need, like better access to healthcare, which means more NP nurse practitioners able to provide a wider array of care that is in line with their current and modernized training, all of that is basically nonpartisan or very apolitical, right, if I'll say, and yet we get sucked up into it. So congratulations on that, and to persevere through what can be frustrating veto cycles when the partisanship sort of dominates the dialogue. More broadly, Senator, and folks, if you're just joining us, we got State Senator Kelda Royce with us. She's a candidate for Wisconsin's gubernatorial seat in 2026. Full disclosure, she and I were buds in law school at the University of Wisconsin Law School. Kelda, I wanted to give you an opportunity to address what I think is the real existential question for the Democratic Party writ large and in the state of Wisconsin. And that is, I truly believe that there are a lot of Trump voters that in good faith and accurately perceived economically that they're getting screwed. And they were sold a bill of goods by Trump that he's going to solve all these problems for them. In fact, it's all gotten worse. But we have a problem trying to bring people together and help them see that the vast majority of us are all experiencing these same challenges, and that we need leadership that doesn't exploit and create division, but sees the challenges facing working people and actually wants to fix them. How do you propose to bring a purple Wisconsin together for you to become governor?
I think the most important thing you can do as a leader is listen to people and really hear what they have to say, and then take those concerns very seriously and do everything you can to build a coalition to fix it. I mean, that is what I've done throughout my career. And I've done it on tough issues like reproductive rights, criminal justice reform, as well as, you know, the bigger ticket issues like economics and healthcare. And that's what you can expect from me as governor. We can disagree, but at the end of the day, I'm going to respect you. I'm going to listen to you. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that you and your family have the freedom to thrive, no matter who you are or where you're from.
We all have a right to thrive and succeed and to fully experience our potential, to have our kids do better than we have. And that is an American value, a Wisconsin value. It is not a partisan concept. Folks, big thanks to State Senator Kelda Royce. She will be on your Democratic primary ticket for our state's gubernatorial seat in 2026. Keep an eye out for her. I know she joins my colleague, Todd Alba, frequently right here on the Civic Media Channel. Check out her interviews there. And Kelda, I'm going to make you come back on my show, too.
I can't wait.
It's good. Maybe we'll tell some embarrassing tales from our law school days. I'm sure our listeners would love to hear all of that.
There aren't any, Maggie.
There was absolutely no embarrassing stories from law school. Again, folks, we've got the Text to Win multi-state contest going on. I'm going to drop that word on the other side. I'm going to dig into the bag man, Tom Homan, because Donald Trump just closes down and shuts down investigations into what appears to be pretty obvious bribery, while directing Pam Bondi and the new interim U.S. attorney for Virginia to prosecute and investigate his political opponents. You want to talk about weaponization? I think that's pretty much it. Stay tuned. All that and more coming up next. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to our last guest, State Senator Kelda Royce. She'll be on your Democratic primary ballot for the governor's office come spring of 2026. Thank you so much, Kelda, for being here with us. You can hear her very frequently on the Todd Alba Show. And I think she might be back here on these airwaves on the Maggie Dawn Show as well. Also, a big thanks to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel with me through the first hour. Jim and I have been talking about, in various ways, shapes, and forms, not just how completely partisan hackery, or what a partisan hack job the U.S. Supreme Court has become, but it's the very iterations of that, like what they're doing, coupled with Donald Trump's own DOJ and the explicit embrace of political retribution out of Donald Trump's own mouth. I will be your retribution. He's going to try to punish his enemies. It's always been about that. And you're seeing it play out in real time, right? A U.S. attorney from the Eastern District of Virginia said, we don't have enough evidence to prosecute New York Attorney General Letitia James. We don't have enough evidence to prosecute or even bring charges to a grand jury to weigh in on Senator Adam Schiff and others. What happened was Donald Trump basically fired him, and now he's got an insurance attorney that's going to be the chief prosecutor in the Eastern District of Virginia, despite the fact that she has never prosecuted a single criminal case in her life. And I'm going to get to what's going on with the bag man, also known as Tom Homan, in just a minute. First, we got a couple of fun things to take care of. And then I've been promising you some sound of Congressman Tom Tiffany. We're going to get there. First, the fun stuff. As you may have been hearing, if you've been with us here on the Civic Media Radio Network for this hour or potentially all day, we are in the midst of Civic Media's Go for the Green and Gold statewide and multi-state text to win contest. This is a bunch of fun. We do it every day, multiple times a day, 7, 9, 11 a.m., as well as in the 1, 3, 5, and 7 p.m. hours. So literally all day on the Civic Media Radio Network. In each of those hours, you're going to get a special keyword to win. You're going to text that in via the Civic Media app, and you will be entered to win a daily prize of either $200 cold hard cash or gold jewelry, and you'll be entered to win our grand prize, 2 club-level tickets for when the Green Bay team here in Wisconsin plays Minnesota on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you there, a $1,500 value. The word to win in this contest this half hour is bling, B-L-I-N-G, as in you might win some gold bling, B-L-I-N-G, when you text that in right now. With that fun concluded, if you haven't heard the news, folks, Congressman Tom Tiffany has announced that he will be one of the Republicans running for governor in 2026. He joins I believe, Washington County Executive Tom Schoeman, as well as businessman Bill Berrien on the Republican primary ticket. He met with the president yesterday in the White House, which ended up being a little embarrassing for Congressman Tiffany, because apparently Trump refused to endorse him despite all of Tiffany's butt-kissing of Donald Trump over the last 8 years. And we went digging for some Tom Tiffany sound. Here's your Cracker Jack congressman from the 7th Congressional District here in the state of Wisconsin. Take a listen.
Mr. Speaker, my bipartisan amendment ensures that none of the funds made available by this bill will go towards funding a rule that will ban flavored milk like chocolate milk in schools. This would ensure that all types and flavors of milk are available to school children. We should not be funding rules that would limit our children's access to delicious and nutritious products like milk. I urge my colleagues to vote.
Happy National Chocolate Milk Day.
Charming. Here's Tiffany on the Department of Education. Don't need that, do you?
Exclude, indoctrinate, it's dead. DEI is dead with the Trump administration now, and it's about time that it went away. So, I mean, we saw all these political appointees by the Biden administration. They were check-the-box appointees. They were not merit-based. And that is going to go away now. We're going to have the best and brightest in these positions of such great importance across the federal government now. And I just applaud President Trump for what he's doing, and we're going to try to cement it into statute.
I just want to say this. First of all, it is really rich to listen to a guy like Tom Tiffany talk about merit in the midst of a Trump administration that wants to get rid of civil service rules. Civil service rules require merit-based hiring. That's what it's about. I don't know what Tom Tiffany is talking about, but the parade of fools and inexperience and sycophancy in Donald Trump's cabinet and in, the Eastern District U.S. Attorney's Office in Virginia is shocking. This has never been about merit. This has never been about competencies. It has always been about sycophancy. That is what's going on. It is only loyalists that Donald Trump wants working anywhere in federal government. And the Supreme Court yesterday on their shadow docket said, "Dear President, your wish is our command. We don't have three co-equal branches. We have a Supreme Court that just blesses whatever dear leader says." And here is now finally Tom Tiffany on the Department of Education.
Department of Education was started in 1979. One, has educational attainment gotten higher in the United States of America since? The answer is no. How in the world did we ever educate kids before 1979, Andrew, here in America without a federal Department of Education? That's the question we should all be posing. I mean, think about it. All the Nobel laureates and all the rest that were educated in America without a federal Department of Education. We've actually gotten worse since 1979 in America. It is time to end the Department of Education and let states and local communities do the job of educating children.
The education system was so great before 1979 without all those, you know, black and brown Nobel laureates or women Nobel laureates. Listen, what we need to do is go back to the before times, you know, when there were no women folk allowed in state houses and black and brown people didn't have the right to vote or equal access to education. The idea that you would actually verbalize that our educational goals as a country are best served by some regressive, halcyon recollection of when women and people of color and gay folks were actively discriminated against at all levels of education and in housing is so deeply offensive that it is, or should at least be, something that you would never hear out of a congressman's mouth, let alone in the same breath that he's advocating for the dismantling of the Department of Education, which most specifically helps ensure equal access to education regardless of your family's wealth, and ensures that our students that have learning challenges, that those challenges are being satisfied by our public school system. This haughty chuckling about DEI and the Department of Education and how great everything was before 1979, even for folks that think, you know, maybe we need to revisit some of those guidelines, or that maybe we need a different approach to education, or that we're not quite seeing the outcomes that we wish we were in education. Tom Tiffany's off-the-cuff, unthinking drivel on these topics is not what makes a good governor. And as we watch Donald Trump dismantle the programs and the funding for the programs that have helped make public education accessible to every single one of our kids, regardless of their family's wealth, and especially regardless of their learning challenges, be sure that you thank Tom Tiffany for making public education so much worse, even worse than it was back in 1979 and earlier. This guy, my goodness. Okay, let's get to the bag man, home man. I've been promising this for quite some time. I want to start with a little blast from Tom Homan's past. This past October, so this was before the election, Tom Homan showed up at this event called the Rod of Iron Freedom Festival. Okay, if you're wondering, what in the heck is that? The Rod of Iron is from the Book of Revelations, and it is a symbol of sort of supreme, irresistible authority that is specifically associated with Jesus Christ's return and his reign over the nations as promised in Revelation. So yeah, not apocalyptic at all, or creepy, or maybe even an endorsement of Donald Trump as said Messiah or king. You know, none of that, really. I'm sure it wasn't that weird. In any case, in October, he's at the Rod of Freedom Festival. Now, it turns out that this was less than a month after these undercover FBI agents recorded him. We're not sure if it's video or audio. Recorded him accepting $50,000 in cash in a legit paper bag in exchange for a promise by Homan to steer federal contracts to the fake businesses that the agents had created should Donald Trump win a second term. And yeah, he took the money. So listen to this weird rant at this very bizarre, quote, Freedom Festival. Take a listen.
Let me be clear. I don't work for the campaign. I haven't taken a dollar from the campaign. Tom Homan is doing it because I think he's the greatest president of my lifetime. I want to see him back in the White House. Nobody says Tom Homan's working for the campaign. Tom Homan is working for the campaign. Tom Homan's working in the interest of the campaign. Tom Homan does it, employed by the campaign, in interest. I'm doing it because Tom Homan, retired ICE director, the guy spent 3.5 decades doing his job. I want him to be president. I'll do what I can to help him. That's what it is.
You know, when I'm addressing a large group of people, I often say, Maggie Dawn is talking to you right now. Maggie Dawn is speaking. Maggie Dawn is talking about politics on the radio because I'm... Anyways, he likes speaking in the third person. It's strange. Here is Tom Homan on Laura Ingraham, I believe just yesterday or on Monday, responding to this bombshell reporting that he's the bag man who gets it done. Take a listen to this.
Give you a chance to address this article that came out over the weekend. And it was on our always reliable MSNBC, and they said that you took $50,000 in cash in a bag from an undercover FBI agent to help them win government contracts in Trump's second term. The DOJ said they concluded there was no criminal wrongdoing.
Oh, we've got to listen to the rest of that. We're going to listen to Tom Homan's non-denial of taking the bag with the cash in it on the other side. Stay tuned. I'll bring you that Homan sound I've been promising all afternoon. On the other side, don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Don't the Allman Brothers just make you feel better? I'm Maggie Dawn, folks. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you've got exactly 7 minutes and 5 seconds right now to text in the word to be entered to win some amazing prizes in Civic Media's multi-state Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Daily prizes include $200 cash and gold jewelry, and our grand prize, which your text message with the word of the hour will get you entered to win, is 2 tickets where Green Bay faces off against Minnesota on November 23rd. Those are club-level indoor seats, plus a gas card to get you there and back, a $1,500 value. That word to win is bling, B-L-I-N-G, as in you will be blinging when you've got those tickets, all in the warm comforts of the indoor club level on November 23rd. Folks, before the break, I was bringing you some of the very Trey Bizarre saga of Tom Homan taking a bag of cash, apparently, allegedly, in exchange for a promise to direct contracts related to Homeland Security to businesses made up by the FBI agents that put the sting together. He was asked about this yesterday or Monday on Laura Ingraham's Fox TV show. Let's take a listen to Tom Homan's non-response.
Give you a chance to address this article that came out over the weekend. And it was on our always reliable MSNBC. And they said that you took $50,000 in cash in a bag from an undercover FBI agent to help them win government contracts in Trump's second term. The DOJ said they concluded there was no criminal wrongdoing, but nevertheless, that story is out there, and I imagine you want to respond to that.
Now, just before we get to Homan's response, a couple of things there. The DOJ has concluded that there is no crime here, and they're not charging you. Donald Trump's DOJ has concluded that he's not going to be interested in prosecuting that. That's thing one. Thing two, he fired again the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Virginia for refusing to prosecute, you know, doing the same thing that his own DOJ just did for Tom Homan, refusing to prosecute or even indict or bring an indictment to a grand jury in the Eastern District of Virginia against Donald Trump's political enemies. But, you know, because Tom Homan's on his side. Dismiss those charges. But most importantly, Ingraham has asked him to address the charges, specifically the alleged facts that you took a bag filled with $50,000 in cash and promised the people that gave you that bag that you would direct contracts their way. Listen to Tom Homan not deny any of those operative facts. Take a listen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I did nothing criminal. I did nothing illegal. And there's hit piece after hit piece after hit piece. And I'm glad the FBI and DOJ came out and said, and, you know, said that nothing illegal happened, nothing, you know, no criminal activity. You're talking about a guy who spent 34 years enforcing the law. I mean, I left a very successful business that I ran to come back and work for a government again. I'm back on a government paycheck. Not only did I sacrifice my family sacrifices. I make sacrifices every day. I got more death threats than anybody. I got a security team around me, but guess what? My kids don't. My wife don't. I mean, I haven't lived with my wife in months because I don't want her to be here right now with all the threats. So after all the sacrifices, after serving my nation for all these years, they want to come out and dirty me up. And it's not going to end. There's a hit piece on me every 2 weeks. But keep coming, because you know what? Tom Homan isn't going anywhere. Tom Homan isn't shutting up. And Tom Homan's going to keep doing what he's doing, because working with President Trump's the greatest honor of my life. We're making this country safer again every day, and we're going to keep doing it.
So it's bizarre for so many reasons, but most of all, folks, just note the fact that he didn't deny the facts. And if we're going to talk about releasing the Epstein files, release the Homan tape. If this is such a nothing burger, FBI, Cash Patel, Pam Bondi, and the rest of them, release the Homan tape, video or audio or whatever it is, so the American people can judge whether or not the alleged bagman Homan was trying to, you know, because of all of his sacrifice and the death threats, you know, get a little extra on the side, since it's been such a burden for him to serve the American public for these years. The whole thing is just gross. And let me finish today by saying this. Donald Trump has railed about draining the swamp for years and years. For Donald Trump, that means getting rid of merit-based hiring through the civil service. For Donald Trump, that means getting rid of objective science and good data analysis. For Donald Trump, that means getting rid of the agencies that are created to help protect you and me and to ensure fair, free market competition. When Donald Trump says drain the swamp, he means to drain all expertise and fairness out of the federal government and to fill it with just his preferred swamp, lackeys like Tom Homan, who apparently took a bag of cash. That's the rot, and it is the rot that always results when you value loyalty over competency, when you value sycophancy over expertise, when you value your own political power and economic desires, when you put all of those things above what is actually good for the American people, Tom Homan is the swamp that needs to be drained. But that rot starts right at the top with Donald Trump, folks. I don't know about you, but I've had just about enough of this. We'll be back tomorrow fighting the good fight. Until then, folks, take care. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.